Chapter 17. Trial Runs.
Bloodthorn, I bring word of a Primaris savant, dead and alive.
Herald, I must commend you for your clarity. Is this news to our advantage or not?
Primaris Carno has been destroyed.
By whom?
The one that calls himself Five.
The rogue Primaris is dead and the dead Primaris is alive.
Yes, and Secundus now suffers from a plague of silver. Our forces flee the city.
I've tasted the bitter spell. It wars with mine, slowing our ascension.
Has an opposing host joined the Loyalists' defense?
The savant goes where no one else would dare, but he's only a psyker, bold yet foolish. That will be his undoing.
Without Carno, we are down to our last savant.
Captain Etor has heeded our summons. Bring him the last rogue. With it, Etor will defeat the Loyalist forces during their inevitable advance.
What shall we do about Five?
Find out what he wants.
He wears the collar of a savant slave. It is obvious he wants his freedom.
I will offer him freedom and so much more.
Lieutenant Peric Kilhaven reporting. I remained standing as Lucian Cano's sword clattered down the immense table, startling the many martial faces. A peer of the general's staff had met their end. The more I thought about it, the angrier I became. Not for the Primaris's force weapon or his well-deserved demise, but for the inquisitorial seal, a misshapen twin of my own, sitting within my pack. With our return to the lines around Gaul Primus, I had begged Warrant Bass to stay within the bounds of the Fulcrumite 1st Division while I made my report. She was drained from the day's long mission and the heavy use of warp energy in Hive Secundus. Captain Finn had set a guard outside her bunkroom and escorted me into the Primus upper hive. I'd taken the time to get cleaned up and affix the new lieutenant's markings to my guard uniform. Five was done for the day, and I hoped the general's staff approved of the new me. The long table was nearly full. The lead officers of every Imperial Guard division were present. Planning for the coming offensive was well underway. Both Inquisitors were in attendance, as were Commissar Bleacher and Governor Barthel. Junior officers lurked in the shadows, monitoring comms and transcribing orders. Inquisitor Agrimont seemed sufficiently put out by the meeting's direction and insufficiently medicated as she explained my rude interruption.
Primaris Cano's force sword. That's one less worry.
It was Inquisitor Mantisera's party, but the final outcome hinged on my mission's success. The sword seemed to move the man sideways.
Five, how is Warrant Best?
Spent. She's resting. The same goes for Commander Preston of the Governor's Guard detail.
How did you find Cano?
He found us. They'd stowed him in the uppermost tower of Secundus, giving him free rein and nothing more. He participated in the rebels' attacks this past week, and he wasn't warp-marked.
Anything else?
Said Agrimont. Lucian Cano had killed one of mine. He'd given Keegan a head start and she'd escaped. Cano's lust and the need to dominate had saved her. That didn't make us even, but it made me think. Only one. I tossed another item on the table. Cano's badge. A partially melted inquisitorial rosette landed in front of Mantisera. It had cooled off hours ago, but the Inquisitor seemed reluctant to touch it.
I didn't know Cano would be there.
Mantisera sounded apologetic, but to whom I wasn't sure. Tell it to Warrant Bast. Did you know that Primaris Cano had a thing for her? Did you know he did everything he could to break her? The Inquisitor one-upped my angry tone.
Lieutenant, they were the two most powerful psykers on this planet. How did you think I controlled them?
Mantisera had leveraged the binding nature of the funnel arc connection and cut it when the situation suited, hanging the Primaris out to dry. Cano had been desperate when he found us, wolfish and lost. But wolves didn't win wars. They only fed themselves and guarded their territory. Lord Mantisera, what was Cano's mission?
He was to infiltrate the Bloodthorn's lair and destroy the beast.
The Inquisitor had thought to trade one beast for another, and used Keegan Bast as leverage in the exchange. With Cano going rogue, the Firehead's existence still remained as a means of control. Cano never got near the Bloodthorn. He was never marked, and yet he turned traitor. He crushed his arcs and killed one of mine. Was that part of your plan?
As a Primaris savant, he was to do whatever it takes. He couldn't kill every rebel, but he could take down the one entity that mattered most.
How was he going to find the demon host?
The forces of Chaos negotiate through a herald, the Bloody Herald. The entity was supposed to lead Cano to the Master's lair, but it reneged on the deal.
Could a Primaris take down a demon host? Certainly, but not the way Kano had gone about it. He wasn't planning on coming back to our lines if he succeeded. He was going to usurp its power. Rovira's declaration about the stability of young psychers hadn't held true, and deals with chaos were never reliable. I continued down the rabbit hole. Who negotiated the deal?
I did. From the Underhive of Tertius.
What were the terms?
They wanted a living savant. They wanted to tap the blood of a potent psyker.
They wanted someone like Keegan Bass, didn't they? She got away, and Kano was left holding an empty bag. Why did you protect her? Why didn't you trade her in?
You said it yourself. You only get one shot at something like that, and Kano was kept at arm's length from there on out. I don't know why they didn't simply kill him instead.
He wasn't that powerful. He was an average funnel with some incredibly strong arcs, but still a funnel. We beg, borrow, and steal our way forward. Primaris Kano was foolish to pretend otherwise and go it alone. He saw the blood on the wall and bet accordingly. General Skivix interjected on behalf of the Imperial Guard officers.
Lieutenant, did you succeed in countering the Bloodthorn's curse in Secundus?
The city is marked top to bottom, but it will take time for the counterspell to spread and take hold. I would give it at least a day to overcome the Hive's web of corruption. The cultists saw what happened to Tertius and hoped to thwart us by making even more sacrifices. It was a losing effort on everyone's part.
Will you be able to do the same in Gaul 4, 5, and 6?
I only need one more city to hold a majority in the cluster. It should be enough to overcome the Bloodthorn's power, and it may allow me to face the demon host in its lair.
You've marked Primus, haven't you?
Said Agrimunt. Only the High Temple, but that should be enough to thwart its future desecration. I still need to mark Ground Zero and the Lower Hive. Governor Barthel had been listening.
Lieutenant, there have been complaints by the Ecclesiarchy concerning silver marks on their temple steps. They suspect witchery.
That's one word for it. I can assure you that the confessors in Secundus and Tertius never complained.
When you say that you've marked my city, what does that mean?
I've placed my name upon it. In doing so, the High Temples have become one-way portals into the Sea of Souls. They have the power to draw the lost home. Inquisitor Agrimunt leaned forward, keeping her mangled hand in her lap.
You've planted an astral beacon? How in the Emperor's hell could you do such a thing? And how could you power it?
Inquisitor, an angel taught me. And taking a cue from Druid Sarkis, I've planted three. Like demon hosts, the beacons were a door between dimensions, but they flowed in the other direction. Formed from a subconscious intention and powered by a web of dark energy, they offered a portal into the Empyrean. Each was a safety valve for the lost souls of war and deception. Having knocked on such a door during my erratic time on Terra, I knew of their potential and was glad to see that my file had skipped over that esoteric detail. The art of dealing with the Inquisition was always based on surprise. Neither of the Inquisitors could form a response. The silence that ensued hinted at the fact that I'd stepped beyond the bounds of my mission. I'd seemingly left my lane, only I hadn't. The Gaul portals would eventually relieve the pent-up pressure of the brutal war on the minds of many. Where before the spirits of the dead lingered and became trapped by the cultists, now they had a beacon drawing them upward and out. It would weaken the Bloodthorn's grip. Having everything to lose, Governor Barthel found his tongue first.
Lieutenant Kilhaven, are we protected?
It was the perfect question. The silvery marks would block the cultists' blood curse, dampening the metaphysical effects of any bloodshed. It wouldn't stop the mundane butchery of war or the claws of an assassin, but it might ward off the more dire schemes of the Inquisition. In any light, it was the perfect tool for negotiation. I turned my gaze back to Inquisitor Mantisera. Am I? Lord Mantisera nodded.
You are.
And Keegan Bast?
Of course. As I said, you only get one shot at something like that.
Does she know about Kano and the deal?
No, not unless you've told her.
I'd taken over the post as protector of Keegan Bast. Inquisitor, it's time to call off Captain Finn and his men. They could be better used elsewhere. The Ogryn weren't necessarily there to protect Warrant Bast. They were her wardens more than her friends, safeguarding against her capture by the enemy. She'd been a token that would have unlocked Kano's access to the Bloodthorn. The demon host would crave her power, and the Ogryn commandos would act to end her life if she was about to become the Bloodthorn's next possession.
I concur,
said Mantisera.
General Skivix will assign the Ogryn commandos to the Fulcrum 1st Division. The 1st will be leading the advance into Tertius.
Shunted aside, Inquisitor Agrimont was no less interested in the proceedings.
Five, where did you meet the Angel?
On Terra, I met several, each a lesson. Now, what do your augur scans really say about the location of the Bloodthorn? I figured Agrimont had to be hiding something. The Inquisitor seemed to run the numbers in her head. I'd done the same a dozen times and kept coming up with the same result. Zero. We were buying time at best. Unless we could destroy the Seed of Chaos, it would sprout into something far worse, and with the Blood Curse still in place to feed it, our chances of winning this war would be nil. Agrimont smiled.
Lieutenant, you faced a demon host before. It didn't end well. Do you think you can go it alone?
I offered my best non-answer. Inquisitor, a demon host and a warp demon are two utterly different foes. I had two squads of Astartes leading the charge before, but I don't see any waiting in the wings around Gaul, do you? Every Adeptus Astartes in the Aegea system had been assigned to Aegea V's northern and southern theaters. The vaunted warriors were best suited for attack and always acted as the tip of the Warmaster's spear. Mantisera had gotten the right idea into his head early on, but had placed his bet on the wrong savant. Lucian Cano was compromised by his narcissistic desires. Had he succeeded in taking down the demon host, he would have usurped the Bloodthorn's throne. We'd be right where we were now, but with a rogue funnel further amplifying the blood curse. Mantisera interjected.
Five, you didn't answer the Inquisitor's question. Do you think that you can go it alone?
Could I succeed against a demon host with Starfire and my arcs backing me up? Sure, but Tertius had been a trial run, and I'd been cut off in the process. Before the mission into Tertius, Primaris Cano had scared them all. He had been a trial run, too. He'd failed by going rogue and ruining it for the rest of us. If I succeeded, I would be considered a threat, one with the simplest antidote. Feth. I did everything in my power not to reach up and touch the collar around my neck. I looked down the table, searching out Colonel Kerp and my brother sitting at his side. Primaris Rovira had done me a favor by handing me the short straw, but there was no way she would abandon Gaul without leaving the Inquisition the means to control me. With what they had in mind, they wouldn't dare. Was it worth winning a war? Definitely. Was it worth winning one-third of a war? Yes, if it was enough to tip the scales of Aegea in our favor. Destroying the Bloodthorn in Gaul would certainly protect my brother's life and that of Keegan Bast. And Lizzie. I would need to speak with Governor Barthel before I left. Feth. 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 The Bloody Herald existed for a reason. There was no way the Bloodthorn moved about. It had procured a lair and set its followers to painting curses accordingly. The demon host had taken an overhive tower or an underhive maze. Either could be easily defended short of the Imperial Guard going full exterminatus on the city of choice, and Sarkis would consider that a win. A dense screen of humanity was its first line of defense. I asked again, Inquisitor Agrimont, what do your augur scans tell us?
The Bloodthorn is hiding in Gaul Quartus.
Agrimont frowned.
But Lord Mantisera will determine your fate, not me.
That wasn't a stretch. The badge in my pack agreed, but Lord Mantisera hadn't been on hand when Primaris Rovira had departed. Inquisitor Agrimont had been deep into her own schemes and ended up on the ceiling. She'd set a collar and wand to Keegan Bast and hopefully had learned from that misguided test. Had I passed or failed? Had anything gone right for the Inquisition? Had everything? We were about to find out.